try to bless these words in Jesus' name.
In Psalm 23, there's a progression here that I want you to see. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd. What does that mean? That means He takes care of me. The Lord is my shepherd. He provides for me. He guides me. He takes care of me. I don't worry about it. He finds places for me to rest, to eat. All my needs are taken care of by the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. So as He's shepherding me, He gives me rest where there is life. Okay? The green pastures are things like the body of Christ where the Holy Spirit flows. The green pastures are meditation of the heart when it's Spirit filled. These things are green pastures. It's life-giving and it's rest-inducing. So He causes me to lie down, rest in these places where there's His life. And He leads me beside still waters. Okay, a depth of doctrine. He leads me to where there is a depth of doctrine. These people who say that, you know, their church doesn't preach the Word of God at all, but, you know, they feel like they should be there anyway. Well, why? Right? Because He leads me to a place where there's a depth of doctrine. And sometimes we've heard that, and people feel very loyal to places based on sentimental attachments rather than on truth and the fact that God has a will. And so He leads me to places of deep doctrine, of profound and good doctrine. He restores my soul with these things. Okay, the rest and doctrine, rest in the body of Christ, rest in meditation in the Word of God, rest in deep doctrine, restore the soul. He leads me in the paths of the righteous for His namesake. Now, here's the transition. This transition is really fascinating. He leads me in the paths of the righteous for His character's sake. He leads me in the paths of the righteous for His character's sake. In other words, He builds His character in me through the paths of the righteous. Now, we're thinking right now, we've got this picture in our minds of great tranquility. Okay? Comfort and rest. Still waters, green pastures. He's shepherding me. He leads me in the paths of the righteous. Now, where is this path of the righteous? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't think about this as the path of the righteous. But that's the path of the righteous. He leads me in the path of the righteous, and I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. He's still in the paths of the righteous. So the path of the righteous, as he was being shepherded by God, as he was being led by God. Remember, God takes the sheep as a shepherd, right? A shepherd will take the sheep anywhere the shepherd wants them to go. How far do shepherds travel with sheep? I don't know, but they stay out there for them, you know, days or weeks at a time. So they're covering some terrain. And they're shepherding them through this terrain. So as he is leading them, he leads them into the valley of the shadow of death. And there is evil there. There is death there. What is death? There are those things that are demonic attacks. There are those things that are evil in the world. What is death around, in, let's say, in our society? What is death? A great deal of immorality. He may lead us into places where we are surrounded by a great deal of immorality. Ungodliness. College students see this a lot, right? Especially on some campuses where there's a great deal of ungodliness, and it's really death. And it's death to the soul. It vexes the soul to be around it. But he leads people in this way. Perhaps it is into trials that are profound and difficult. Difficulties maybe with health or finances or circumstances, and he leads them right down into these paths. There is evil there. That means that there is a satanic government operating there. And God has led a person into a place where the satanic government is operating. That they will not fear the satanic government operating. He said, I won't be afraid of Satan's government as it is operating all around me, because I am in the valley of the shadow of death and there is evil there, and I'm not going to be afraid of it. Why? Because he's with me. And then he says, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Rod is talking about doctrine. Staff is talking about conviction. I take comfort in doctrine and conviction. Doctrine teaches me how to think. Conviction protects me from that which is around me. When a person enters into a place where there is great evil, and I'm sure you guys have experienced this to some degree or another, especially if you're in a secular college, but other places certainly also. To be around evil, to be around outright flagrant ungodliness, it's a little bit disturbing to the soul, to the heart of the believer. It's a little bit, you can sense the peril there. And you can sense, this is not really a safe place for me. Perhaps there are temptations tugging on the believer's heart. All kinds of temptations, alcohol, people are drinking, and they say to you, hey, you know, a classmate comes, or a co-worker or whatever comes, hey, have a drink with us, come on, have a drink, you know, have a good time with us, have a drink with us. Or people dress immodestly and they try to be provocative, and there is temptation possible there. Or any number of temptations that are different types of intellectual temptations in colleges. Why? Because the intellectual temptation, knowledge puffs up. Right? So as I go through a college experience, I have to guard my heart that though while I learn things, and they may even be worthwhile in their own respect, while I learn things, that it not become a part of my identity and then try to puff me up as though I'm something more than somebody else who doesn't have this. I think it's remarkable that our ministry was started by a man who had a 6th grade education and 2 PhDs. Go figure. He never went to college. He was the president of the Northeast Baptist Convention along the Northeast Seaboard, but he never went to college. He never was even formally trained in a seminary, although he started many seminaries. And they were very accurate in their teaching of the Word of God and their doctrines. So it's that knowledge thing. Knowledge from God is better than knowledge from the world. Now, I of all people am not against going to college. Right? I have 6 college degrees. I'm not against going to college. But I also, like you guys, I realize that they are 100% worthless apart from the mind of God controlling my thinking. And so my college degrees are nothing. They are paper. If I don't have the mind of God, whatever learning I may have had, if it is not tempered by the Word of God, it's meaningless. And so he'll take me into these places where there are all kinds of temptations and dangers, perils. And these are the steps of the righteous. These are the paths of the righteous. We don't think of them that way. I love this next portion. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When God leads you, you will develop enemies. You will gain enemies. And you will not need to try. You will not need to try to gain enemies. you will simply acquire enemies. Why? They will hate you, Jesus said, because they first hated me. And so you may have enemies, and you will have enemies who hate you because you are of a different kingdom. You represent a different life. You represent a different truth. They try to say truth is one thing, but it is not. They try to say good is evil and evil is good, but it is not. And you say, no, God is good and He is the source of good, and they don't like that. And so they become your enemy for what they perceive you as representing. There are people who will not like you because you are a Christian. Why? Because they hate God. It's like that college, remember that university, I don't remember which one it was, that defined discrimination or whatever it was as anything that a Christian does against somebody else. This was targeting Christians with hatred and calling them evil. This was making the Christian the enemy because he is a Christian. When that happens to you, and it will, and I don't mean to paint a bleak picture, actually this will be edifying in the end. When that happens to you, and it will, know this. God will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. God will prepare a provision. God will prepare a way. God will prepare richness for you. Maybe overt, maybe in your own heart. God will prepare feasts for your soul in the presence of your enemies. What does that mean? That means your enemy may come against you, your enemies may rail against you, your enemies may accuse you, they may plot and scheme against you, and you're going to be feasting right in front of them. You're not going to be harmed by their plotting. You're not going to be harmed by their attempts. You're not going to be harmed by their intents. You're going to be feasting with God in the presence of your enemies as God spreads out a table. Can you imagine that? Like, think about the wars we're in right now, right? Think like Afghanistan, and all of a sudden the Taliban are there, and you got an American or, you know, patrol or British or whatever, patrol, and the Taliban are there. And you're in Taliban territory, and you just sit down. It's very dangerous, and you sit down. And you break out a feast, a picnic lunch, like a big feast. You know, you pull out, you know, pork on the barbecue. You know, you got the whole pig up there with the apple in its mouth or whatever, you know, or you know, chicken wings and hamburgers. The guy can't have the hot dogs and hamburgers. And you nice big piece of steak. You know, you break out the barbecue and you just, you know, just nice seared medium rare, just inside, just a pink. Anyway. You get the idea. And and they start shooting at you and their bullets can't reach you. Like, can you imagine? The Taliban has these guns, but it's like a little pop gun. You know? And the thing just goes down right at their feet. Yeah, and this is what it's like with us in the spiritual battles. We have this feast right in the middle of enemy territory, and we're enjoying ourselves, we're having a good time, we're loving life, we're loving God, we're having good fellowship, we're enjoying things. Maybe somebody's that you shouldn't be happy, and we're having a feast, and they're shooting their little pop guns, you know, and it's right at their feet, you know, and it's at their feet again, and it's a little pop, 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 and it goes nowhere. They can't touch you. And you wave to, how you doing there? Don't you wish you had some of this? You can if you need a savior. And they try to shoot you again for saying that. And it still goes nowhere. This is our life. This is how it is with us as believers. This is the believer whose life is being shepherded by God. They're feasting, but they're feasting in the presence of enemies. They're not harmed, but the enemies are shooting at them. They walk in the paths of the righteous, but there is evil all around them. But they're not afraid, because God is with them. We are like this. We are not afraid because God is with us. Maybe you're in college and a professor doesn't like you because you're a believer, perhaps. Or maybe it really has nothing to do with liking you or not liking you. Maybe you just had a tough course and you know you're where you're supposed to be, but you didn't do so great on that course and you think to yourself, well, this is going to be a problem. It's not going to be a problem. It's just another detail. It's not going to be a problem. You see, you're going to feast in the presence of your enemies. And God's going to anoint your head with oil. The presence of the Holy Spirit will be in your mind. You'll know how to think properly, and every step you take will be a good step. And you won't even know it, because you cannot see the future. But every step you take will be a good step, because God anoints your head with oil. And then he says, your cup will run over. Have you ever had somebody really mad at you, but you were happy? And you're like in this great mood, and you're like, and they're really mad at you, and they want you to be miserable, and you're like, hi. And I just, really? Oh, wow, okay. Nice to see you. It's like, they don't like that. There's a certain few people at work that are like that, and I'm always, you know, how you doing? And I say, I'm perpetually lovely. And it makes them nuts, because they don't want you to be happy. This is our life. Why is this our life? There are a few reasons. The first one is, because surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness and God's mercy follow you. Hey, what if something happens and the evil makes you trip? It happens to people sometimes. Godly people trip. What happens then? Well, in Romans 14:4, God has his hands under your armpits and he's holding you up. You know, like you do maybe like with a toddler. You know, you hold their hands around maybe their torso, and you make sure they don't fall. God does that with us. We won't fall. They may throw something under our feet, but we won't fall. And though we fall, we won't be utterly cast down. In other words, we may start to tip over and God grabs us before we fall over. We won't be cast down. Why? Because goodness and mercy follow us. And there's one more. He said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, forever, even in the presence of evil, I will dwell in a place where I can receive the Word of God. And the house of the Lord does not necessarily mean my church. It may. But what about those precious believers who are, let's say, imprisoned and they do not have a church? Maybe they're in solitary confinement because of their faith. There is still a house of the Lord, because the body is, in fact, the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what he's saying there is, I'm going to live in communion with God, with the Word of God. I'm going to be in these places where I meditate, and I think upon His Word, and I apply His promises, and I let doctrine define things. This is a person who has something in their soul. And this is why he can live in the house of the Lord forever, because he has something in his soul. What does he have in his soul? He has structures in his soul. There are rooms and compartments in the soul that are built by the Word of God. Have you ever been in a warehouse that has been emptied? Or maybe a large place like a strip mall, you know, maybe you had several stores and they gutted them. And now you have just the bare bones and the walls. And it's like this. The empty soul is like that. It's like a warehouse or a place like a mall that has been emptied and gutted. and you have this vast cavernous space. And the Word of God comes, doctrine comes. This is why I love that so many of our people are in Bible college. Doctrine comes, and it defines things. I learn what it means to sit under a proper pastor teacher. I learn what it means to have a relationship with my Bible. I learn what it means to be fed and to feed myself. And it builds structures in my soul. How would you like to lay down in a barren warehouse? It wouldn't be too appealing. It's like concrete floor and concrete walls and a tin roof, and not very appealing. But how would you like to lay down in a mansion? That's a Tuscany mansion. That's a little more appealing. A believer who is void of the Word of God rests in a warehouse. A believer who has the Word of God flowing and dwelling in him, who has doctrine in his heart and as his frame of reference, that believer rests in a Tuscany mansion. Now, that believer is still walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and there's evil all around, but he's resting in a mansion. He builds structures of doctrine that can give him rest. Why? When I learn the Word of God in categories, where I have the Word of God for every circumstance of my life, I can rest in every circumstance of my life. When I believe God's promises for each trial of my life, or each challenge of my life, then I can rest in each challenge of my life. And these are rooms, and there's furniture built by individual passages, and doctrines build the rooms, the walls, the doors, the windows. I can look out and I can see things for what they really are, because I can think with the mind of God. Or there is something, and I start to meditate on a verse, and it produces peace in my heart, and it's like laying down in a comfortable bed. And perhaps I'm very tired, and I grab a hold of some promises, and I say, everything is good. It's like sitting in a nice, easy chair. He builds these rooms in our house, in our soul, and we rest there through the Word of God. You see, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. That's talking about these rooms in the soul. The convictions that I have are the doors. They do not allow the evil things in. They keep them outside. And the doctrine that I have is the decor of my home, where I live with the Spirit of God. Do you understand? Your trial will come. If you haven't had a life-altering trial yet, you will. But the trial is not a dangerous thing. It's the path of the righteous. And in that path of the righteous, you're going to find comfort. Why? Because goodness and mercy follow you. And you have structures in your soul through the Word of God. And that's where you're going to find your rest. There's no other way to find it. Why do we get so much into the Word of God? Well, because we don't want to live in a warehouse. But we want to live in a mansion. So your mansion is built as you fellowship with His Word. Amen.